How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. The fellow redeemed in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of your homiletical professors have ever given you the assignment to preach a sermon on feet, but that's what we are going to have this morning on this festival of St. Andrew, Apostle and Martyr. In our text, Paul is quoting Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." These lowly members of our body are not overlooked in Holy Scripture. The feet of Jesus are quite important and prominent in the gospel accounts. They carried him around and over the hills of Palestine to proclaim the gospel. They were anointed with precious perfume by Mary and wiped with her hair. Jesus himself washed the feet of his disciples. And Jesus' feet carried him to Calvary, where he was crucified. And when people raised their gaze to look up at the crucified Christ on the cross, the first part of his body that they would have seen would have been his feet. And when he ascended on from the Mount of Olives, if he ascended in the way that we usually think of his ascension, as ascending vertically in a standing upright position, the last part of his body they would have seen were his feet. And so Paul's words certainly would apply to the feet of Jesus. Still, it seems quite strange, maybe, to preach on a text that speaks about feet. After all, these lowest extremities of our bodies usually get very little attention, especially for men who hide them away entirely in their shoes, which cover the entire foot. If you assess the attractiveness of an individual, you don't start looking at the feet. I doubt if anyone ever puts on a job application the indication that he has beautiful feet. So much of our activity occupies the upper parts of our body. We usually think about the brain, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the hands, and the heart. But the feet seem to be in quiet attendance on the rest, the more important parts of the body. About the year 305 A.D., the church father Lactantius wrote a work entitled De Opificiis Dei, on the workmanship of God, in which he remarks how carefully and artfully God fashioned and shaped these members, which ordinarily get little attention. He said, "In the soles of the feet, there is the same plan as in the hands, but yet very different, for since these are, as it were, the foundation of the whole body, the admirable Creator has not made them of a round appearance, lest man should be unable to stand, or should need other feet for standing, as in the case with the quadrupeds. But he has formed them of a longer and more extended shape, that they might make the body firm by their flatness." The feet receive special attention from God when he created mankind. If we take the text a step further, Paul says that our feet are beautiful not as objects of beauty to be admired, but as means to assist in the preaching of the good news of God's deliverance from sin. And this is precisely what makes the feet so beautiful. Your feet will carry you on evangelism calls, to hospital rooms, to shut-ins, and on congregational visits, in order that you may proclaim the gospel, comfort and touch the lives of others, whose feet carry them through the joys and the travails of life. In 490 BC, when Athens defeated the Persians on the plains of Marathon, a man named Pheidippides ran 26 miles from Marathon to Athens to tell them of the victory. And as soon as he had arrived in Athens and announced the victory, He dropped dead of exhaustion on the spot. But how lovely the people of Athens must have thought the feet of Pheidippides were, even though they were badly bruised, bloodied, severely cut from running along the rocky road, all for the sake of announcing a victory. If our feet get a little bruised and bloodied in our proclaiming of the gospel to our world, it will also be all for the good. As you and I know, St. Paul here is not talking exclusively about the feet of the preacher. He is using synecdoche, a figure of speech, in which a part refers to the whole. So in reality, he is saying how beautiful is the person who goes and announces the gospel. But why use the feet for the whole? Why not use the mouth or the tongue or some other part of the body that we might ordinarily think of as being more noble? Let me suggest several reasons why St. Paul and Isaiah, for that matter, might have used the feet to represent the whole. One reason might be that feet suggest movement. Beautiful is the one who gets up and goes. It took God a little persuasion, but Moses and Jonah got up and went on their missions of proclaiming the word of God. And the Great Commission begins, "Go ye into all the world." In other words, we must get up off our duffs. We must take our feet from being planted under the desk in the pastor's office and go out into the lives of people. That's what makes the preacher a beautiful person with beautiful feet. And a second reason might be that feet suggest humility. Humility, as you know, is derived from the Latin word humus, which means the ground. And our feet are the members closest to the ground, and therefore we might say the humblest parts of the body. And so Paul is saying that we are to go humbly to serve God and his people, not ourselves. Guests wash their feet before entering a host house as a show of respect for their host. And Mary anointed Jesus' feet to show her respect and her worship for her Savior. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet to demonstrate his servanthood. And so the feet suggest the humility of the service that we should render in the kingdom of God. And so when we think of the feet of the messenger of God, we are thinking of humble, Christ-like service. As Christ said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And then thirdly, the feet suggest speed. One might think of the winged feet of Mercury, the messenger of Zeus, a swift messenger for Zeus. And speed is important in our world, because how important it is to get the message of God's redemption out to people on time. We read of plane crashes, earthquakes, tornadoes, snowstorms, terrorist bombings. Since people's lives are being snuffed out suddenly, it is imperative that we get to them quickly. A good illustration comes from the ancient Greek historian Thucydides. In 427 BC, Mytilene, a city on the island of Lesbos, had rebelled against Athens. But Athens quickly reconquered Mytilene, and enraged by the revolt, the Athenian leader Cleon persuaded the Athenian legislature to authorize the execution of the entire population of Mytilene. And so a fast trireme, a ship with three banks of oars, was promptly dispatched to Mytilene, 230 miles away, carrying orders to the Athenian garrison to begin the slaughter. But the next day, the Athenian legislature had a change of heart and mind, and they voted to reverse their previous order. And Thucydides then describes the events in these words. The Athenians then immediately dispatched a second trireme with all haste, hoping that the first trireme, which had a start of about a day and a night, might not arrive first and the city be found destroyed. The Mytilenean envoys provided wine and barley for the crew and promised a large reward if they would arrive in time. And such was their haste on the voyage that they kept on rowing as they ate their barley cakes kneaded with wine and oil, and they took turns as sleeping and rowing. And since by good fortune no contrary wind arose and the earlier ship was sailing in no hurry on so horrible a business, while the second pressed on in a manner described, although the former did in fact arrive first, so that Paches, the Athenian commander at Mytilene, had just enough time to read the decree and was about to execute the orders. The second put in close after it and prevented the destruction of the city. By just so much did Mytilene escape its peril. Our world is under judgment and condemnation because of sin, and the only way to reverse that judgment is for us to arrive in time with the gospel. Hopefully, those beautiful feet of yours will enable you to reach some lost souls, to announce the redemption that they have in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it may be just in time. Today we think of another pair of feet, those of Saint Andrew, patron saint of Scotland and Russia. Early church legend tells of his missionary activity in the region around the Black Sea, a pretty good distance from Palestine. And a 4th century account says that he died by crucifixion. And in a later medieval enhancement of that account, it says that he was crucified on a X-shaped cross. Like Jesus Christ, like St. Paul, and like so many others, his feet carried him to his execution, but before that to many places where he preached the gospel. And how many people might have looked up at St. Andrew on his X-shaped cross, and as they looked up saw his feet first and might have thought or said, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How many people may someday say that your lowest extremities, which get otherwise little consideration, are beautiful, not because of their shape or because of their appearance, but because of what they have done. They have carried you into the world, into your congregation, into your community, into the church at large, to bring the good news of the gospel of our redemption in Christ Jesus. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.